We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
5 o'clock hours, the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, brought to you by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery at the Amerind Bank Arena. Right below me is the Funky Buddha Tap Room. You can get yourself a little Funky Buddha, enjoy some hockey action tonight right across from Pantherland, and you have the time of your life. Puck drops at 7:30. Get here a little bit early. Get yourself a Funky Buddha. Walk around the arena. I got a Huey Magoo's in here. I got a lot of action.
I wish I was there, Hawk. You mentioned a little Funky Buddha going on. Nothing
better. Look who's here. Look who's here. Do you know who this is, Solana?
Hey.
That's Solana. Come look. Come closer so he can see you.
Hey.
Do you know who... Do you know who that is, Solana?
I have no idea. I've got no idea.
This is W2 Roy's wife. Yeah. Crowder just left. Nikki's here. W2 Roy is the biggest hit on our show lately. He was at Delaware Chicken Farm on Saturday when we went there for the Crowder Powder event. But Nikki has been working security and crowd control for the Heat and the Panthers and concerts forever. Roy can't hold a job, although he's been in a good year, about a year now. But Nikki has been with, I don't even know what the organization is, but 20-plus years. That is W2 Roy. This is a saint of a woman.
She is.
Solana.
She is.
We love your husband, Roy. Nice to see you, Nikki. My favorite couple. Crowder had to leave. He's catching a flight from New York back to Detroit. Was that not a treat, Solana?
Wow.
You wouldn't have guessed that in a million years, right?
I never would have guessed that.
That is so funny. Crowder had to leave for the final hour here because he's heading back to Detroit, where he'll do the show tomorrow as we get you ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. So Clay Ferraro, though, will join us this hour live here at the Amerind Bank Arena. We'll chit-chat with him. So let us begin the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour with headlines and Alejandro Solana.
Thank you, Hawk. So I do have some audio. Coach Spo just spoke at the Heat shoot-around. Several players did. Bam, I believe Caleb Martin did as well. But Coach Spo was asked about the situation with Caleb Martin. And he has a response to it, Hawk,
okay.
if you want to hear it.
I would.
All right, here we go.
So maybe it was the extra day that people needed a story, but there's been a lot of talk about the foul for Caleb on Jason. What was your viewpoint of that foul? Did it look like a regular foul? Was there anything more than that in your eyes?
No, and I don't even think it's worth addressing. I get it. Everybody gets emotional. You ask fans on one side how they view the play. You've asked fans on our side, you know, how they view the play, and you're going to get two totally different viewpoints on that. That's the playoffs. You know, that's the fun part also for fan bases. You know, it was an irrational assessment on our view of what actually happened, and the players are fine. None of that is good. You know, all the outside, you know, noise or anything like that is not going to decide the series or the game. This is good, clean, tough, physical playoff basketball, and always has been with Boston and us. It's not going over the top. The league doesn't need to look into anything more on either side, put extra eyes on it. This is just tough, competitive basketball. This is what everybody wants. This is what the fans want, the players want, teams want, and even the league. You know, they want this level of competition, you know, that they're seeing.
Excellent answer by Spo. He's 100% correct that nothing needs to be looked at, but it is fun for everyone to do this. And that's what he was saying. That was Will Manso asking the question, it sounded like. But a perfect answer. This stuff, this is what you want. You want little storylines. You want stuff like this. So I've got no problem with that. But it certainly doesn't warrant a look deeper by the league. And to be honest, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Brian Scalabrine himself, they know that nothing was going on there, that there was no code red. It was a good, good little fun piece of content for a couple of days.
You want content, you want side stories, you want drama, but what you shouldn't do as a professional broadcaster is assume that the head coach called a timeout, Hawk, to call for a code red so that somebody will go injure the other player.
We're professional broadcasters. We're professional broadcasters, and we assume nonsense all the time.
Right, but we're not on a TV call of a playoff game insinuating that the head coach has called for one of his own players to go out and injure the other team's best player.
Now, I would think Scalabrine would say to you that that's not what he suggested at all. In fact, he clarified it on the Levitard show where he said, when I say code red, I'm just saying, hey, let's have some intensity out there. He never said, I am suggesting Eric Spoelstra said go out and injure Jason Tatum. I'm not apologizing for it because I think the whole thing is silly, but I like the content. I like the content that he created for Boston fans, and I like the content that was created for us to bitch and moan about the content that he created. It's content for me. What else am I going to talk about with that Heat series?
DeLon Wright. I don't know what else to tell you.
Over 5.5 for tomorrow night's player prop.
Book it. All right. These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Los Madelines are in action tonight. They play game two of a three-game series, 7:20 from the ATL. But the big game is at Amerant Bank Arena. Panthers, Lightning, game two.
Yeah, buddy.
Sir.
Ready. They got the whole you know, the outdoor area, it's buzzing already. They got the blow-up hockey rink. You got a funky Buddha tent and truck. You got picture-taking opportunities. The band here in the Coors Light Cold Zone on the suite level was warming up, rehearsing during our commercial break at the top of the hour. I mean, there's some action here, Jack.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I have a little FOMO, I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm missing out on a Panthers playoff game tonight.
I'm with you. I'm going to drive right home at 6 o'clock and be on my couch by 7:30.
Okay. Tonight, if the Panthers are up big by the second period, maybe you'll tune over to the NBA playoffs because we got a complete slate tonight. Timberwolves and Suns get things going. 7:30, game two. Minnesota leads 1-0. Bucks Pacers tonight, game two. Milwaukee's up in that series. Clippers, they host the Mavericks. It's a late game. Clippers do have a 1-0 series lead.
All right.
You had the parlay down perfect yesterday. Man. With the three home teams. Are you feeling the same tonight? Bucks, T-Wolves,
and Clippers? I don't know. I was just looking at it again. I was just looking at the Hard Rock app. I'm probably going to bet some Panthers action tonight, so I don't know if I'm going to parlay the games. But I'm so nervous about taking Minnesota laying the points because at some point Kevin Durant has to be Kevin Durant. Like that game scares me. Milwaukee without Giannis. No problem game one. Can you do that again? Indiana's a good team. So I that one makes me nervous. I would probably, if I was going to bet one of the NBA games tonight, it would be Dallas getting the points from the Clippers. Although I think Kawhi is playing tonight. But I think Dallas takes one from L.A. in L.A.
Yeah, I believe Giannis will be out tonight.
For Milwaukee,
yeah. He had been doubtful to play game one. Was not ruled out until Bucks head coach Doc Rivers noted it in his pregame press conference. So I guess no official word yet.
Panthers are -175 tonight or -1.5 on the goal line. That interests me a little bit. Shots on goal. Kachuk is at 3.5. Reinhardt 2.5. Verhaeghe 2.5. Man, I had in game one, I had Carter Verhaeghe over 3.5 shots on goal.
Yeah.
in the first period, he's got three shots on goal. And I didn't see the third one.
And a goal.
And Appel is texting me. He's like, hey, oh, I think it was over 2.5. It was at 3. Right, right. It was 2.5. Carter Verhaeghe over 2.5 shots on goal. And it was 3 in the first period, if you look at CBSSports.com or ESPN.com. Now, hockey scorekeeping is not the – it's like they look stuff over at the end of every period.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I don't feel good about that 3. I'm not celebrating that as a win because I only saw 2 shots on goal. And in between the first and second period, they took him from 3 to 2. Then in the third period, they took him from 2 to 1.
Huh?
They took away the first shot on goal that they had counted in the first period. So he ended with 1 shot on goal. He had 3 at one point. He ended with 1 and a goal. But you got to be careful with that. Like, you got to get to, like, 6. If you have an over-under on 2.5 or 3, you need it to show 6.
Damn, they hit you with the okey-doke.
They did.
Damn. That's a bad beat right there, bro.
Bad beat because you're counting it. Yeah. Like, in the first period, you're like, oh, this is a done deal.
But you never know. Like, if you look away from the screen for a second, Verhaeghe could have had a shot on goal. But to see 3, to have the winning bet on an app, and then...
In the first period.
And then... It goes from 3 to 1.
Yeah. Yeesh. Just kept hanging them down.
You would think that would keep you from putting in more bets tonight.
And it actually makes me bet more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understood. All right. So last night, the Cavs did win. They're up 2-0 in the Magic. The Knicks are up 2-0. The Nuggets are up 2-0. That Knicks Nuggets ending was phenomenal, though. Some of the best. The best. Playoff basketball we've seen thus far.
And it wasn't a Knicks-Nuggets ending. There were 2 endings. They were both fantastic.
Correct.
But I think you're thinking Knicks-Sixers.
No, Knicks and Nuggets endings
well,
to the game.
You didn't say and. You said the Knicks-Nuggets ending. And then you said BS'd.
Inter-Miami. They'll play at New England on Saturday at 7:30. That is your Inter-Miami update. They're atop the Eastern Conference standings right now. By 2 points, it's fueled.
Clay Ferrero's walking over.
My Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. How's he looking?
I'll tell you what, Cugno was dressed to the nines. Cugno had a suit, a blazer or whatever, and Doug Plagans had a full suit on, and Clay might be worse dressed than me.
Hmm.
Yeah. We'll have him on in the next segment.
That's tough to believe, though, considering what you're wearing.
I know. I'm wearing jeans, which are not form-fitting at all, and a hoodie. He come over here to the he's wearing a collared shirt, local 10 collared shirt, but stand up so he could see the jeans because they're kind of on the baggy side and a little washed out, you know.
Clay's had those jeans at least 22 years, right?
Yeah, without question.
Yeah,
he said it's the style.
He bought those at JCPenney in 1998, I would guess.
Yeah.
All right. The only other interesting news story I have for you, Hawk, do you see Shams reported yesterday that the Hornets are interviewing J.J. Redick for their head coaching job?
I did see that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Basketball knowledge is unparalleled.
Yeah, it is.
But what does that translate to? You know what I mean?
Because he hasn't coached in the NBA. He's not Chris Quinn on the sidelines or Karam Butler.
We saw that with Steve Nash.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, like, is that the move? You go get some guy because he's good on podcasts and on ESPN?
I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen his show with LeBron?
I can't watch that because it's too in the weeds for me. It is. It's like, I watch basketball for Caleb Martin throwing himself under Jason Tatum. I don't watch it for the X's and O's the way that Redick and LeBron can break it down.
Yeah. Well, at least it's good to know you and Brian Scalabrine consume the game the same way.
I am totally kismet with Brian Scalabrine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Your weather. It's sponsored by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy, around 85 degrees. Tonight, the lows will be in the upper 70s. That is your weather.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Holy cannoli.
Hawk and Crowder.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, Jimmy has completely redeemed himself when it comes to the music with just two songs in the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Earth, Wind, and Fire to kick it off. A little Zeppelin now. Clay Ferrero is with us. You a Zeppelin fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's really my jam. That's
love great. Earth, Wind, and Fire, my favorite band of all time. You like Zeppelin, Solana, or that you can't get into that? It's too old for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it comes on at a stadium or something, you can definitely get hyped to it, but there's never been a situation where I get in my car and I turn on my phone or whatever. And
you don't have it on, like, a workout playlist, like, no. A Whole Lot of Love there or something? Because that's a good song, man.
No. My workout playlist consists of, like, Bad Bunny and J Balvin, not exactly Led Zeppelin.
Mine is Tupac, Little Bone Thugs and Harmony. What else have I got on there?
Huh.
Like, if it's more of like a cardio, like a chill, I've got some Babyface on there. Like, I love
baby
the 90s
face,
stuff. Yeah,
really?
I love, like, the 90s stuff.
Wow, that's, look at you.
Yeah.
Bone Thugs and Harmony for a workout, huh?
Yeah. Huh. 90s.
You work out a lot on the first of the month?
Hey. Well done.
Clay Ferrero, by the way. I don't think I officially introduced him. Clay Ferrero from Local 10. He's here at the Amerant Bank Arena. You already went live once in the 5 o'clock hour?
Yep.
So when can people watch you again?
6 o'clock will be T's and A Block, so sports. And like here I am using the lingo. Probably like 6:20 if you want to see the whole deal. But I did make it a point. So game one, we did our live shot and after the game I had the rat. You know, but since I didn't do it before the game and they won the game, I can't do rat until after the game tonight.
Like, gotcha.
You have to follow the superstition. Yeah. So
you think they come out of here up 2-0? We were talking off the air, so Clay said to me, he said, are you believing in this team? And I said, I really do. Like, I think this Panthers team is so perfectly constructed and so perfectly coached, and I think Paul Maurice's personality fits so well with the guys, especially Matthew Tkachuk on this team. I'm a big believer. So, A, do you think they come out of here 2-0? B, do you think they beat Tampa in the series?
Yes and yes, and a couple of points on that. The towels that they're giving out, it's redemption, right? And it's, they're not looking at this as a continuation of last
year.
Oh, there we go.
Look at that.
They're not looking at this as like, oh, let's, for this series, they're not looking at this as like the step to get back to the Stanley Cup final, although I'm sure there's that thought in their mind, but it is, we got to beat Tampa. We know what happened back-to-back years, 21 and 22. And, you know, you're going to hear all this stuff from new year, new team. No, they remember what happened against Tampa. And what I also really liked was, to your point about Tkachuk after game one, just a smile on his face and just be like, yeah, I mean, you got to get through the regular season, and the regular season does matter and all that. But, man, this is what we've been looking forward to. And so I just think there's this, like, kind of what we've said for the Miami Heat. Like, they look forward to the playoffs. It could be a different team in the playoffs. Whatever. We haven't said that as much about the Florida Panthers because they were so good for so much of the regular season. But there has been this thing for them. They've been looking forward to this, and I think they're ready to rock.
Yeah, Sunday you just kind of felt it. You finally kind of watched it all come together, because you and I were talking off the air about how you got a little nervous at the end of the season because things were a little bumpy, and Paul Maurice kept saying, oh, don't worry about it. And we had plenty of guests on, you know, Plagans and Moeller and Goldie. And, you know, everyone was saying that, no, don't worry about it. And he kind of let you know, yeah, like, we didn't do anything towards the end of the season that was very concerning because we want to be ready for now. And they are. I thought Sunday went a long way for exercising some of the demons that, you know, I went into that game nervous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I wanted to face Toronto over Tampa. And I was nervous just because of PTSD with
sure.
these playoff series with Tampa. So for me, Sunday. Now, I was saying to Plagans earlier, Cugno, I don't want them to go to Tampa tied at one.
Right.
I want them to take care of business right. tonight, go there, because I don't think you're going to sweep this Lightning team. So I'd like to handle their business tonight and really feel like they're in command of this series. Tampa steals one tonight. You're going to get a little nervous.
Well, sure. I thought that first goal by Reinhart was so big, and it was, man, let's draw first blood on Vasilevsky because of what's happened in the past. And then I also thought that it was big that, hey, once Tampa came back and tied it, that you were able to find a way to get it done at the end. And what I thought back when they made the trades at the deadline, you bring in a guy like Tarasenko, I love the idea of raising your ceiling and not being afraid of messing up the apple cart. Like, I really like going
gutsy.
All in.
Very gutsy.
It is gutsy. And I was like, okay, I get it. Let's do it. 100%. But then when the results didn't quite follow as quickly, there was kind of this sense of, uh-oh, did they? But you're right. I mean, there has been this constant sense from within the organization that they were not concerned about what was happening on the ice with that. So, look, now you've got a team that I think the ceiling is higher than last year's team. The overall talent level is even better than last year's team. Now the question is Bob the same Bob that we saw, or something close to what we saw in the 2023 run? And I do think, based on what we saw in game one, there's every opportunity for him to do that.
And by the way, if he's not, I love Anthony Stolarz.
Oh, like, yeah.
What a luxury to know that the guy backing him up is probably just as good this season as he's been. Clay Ferraro is with us. Let me shift gears and go over to the Heat here for a second. What do you think about this dirty player, Caleb Martin, for the Heat, who obviously just went out there to injure Jason Tatum? It was a code red situation. I think we all saw it.
For our 5 o'clock, and it was like, Will's up in Boston and I'm here. And he did a whole feature story where he broke out the A Few Good Men. Then, did you order the code red? You can't handle the truth. It was really well done. What I think is, if you watch the play, it's very clear he and Drew Holiday are jockeying. And Drew Holiday is trying to, I wouldn't go as far as to say he shoved him, because I think there's almost like this insinuation with that it was, no, I think he was arm barring him, trying to keep him and reroute him from getting the offensive rebound. Then he extended his arm. That, yes, it did lead to a little bit of a push that knocked him off course. I thought if you watch Caleb Martin's eyes on the play, he's focused on that jostling with Drew Holiday, and then his eyes are immediately on the ball. He never once looks at Jason Tatum until he's already going airborne, and then he just kind of flinches when he sees Tatum's elbow and his arm. He wasn't even looking at Tatum.
He immediately tried to help him up. Well, the thing was so nonsensical.
Oh, the flinch to me, where he was like looking straight up, and then you saw him like, and it's hard because you're on radio, but like you see him kind of like turn his head. Like he was surprised that he was smashing into Tatum at that point. And so I just, it's much ado about nothing. I would say the thing that's kind of weird to me, not that the Boston media are playing it up, because that's what the Boston media do. What was kind of weird to me was seeing Jaylen Brown this morning saying, you know, I just think there's a line.
He didn't put it to bed. Like, yeah, he didn't just put it to bed saying, hey, that was a basketball play.
So what's strange to me is why do the players have to make more of this than it is? And I thought Joe Mazzulla was right, and he said, you know, I don't think it was intentional. But why does Jaylen Brown seem to feel the need to make more out of this than it is? And to me, it's like, okay, well, I don't know if the Heat are going to win a game in this series. I don't know what's going to happen, but they're very clearly still in Boston's head. And for Boston to feel like they have to kind of play into this thing, it just makes me feel like game two is probably going to be the most important, interesting game of this series, because I feel like the Heat are focused on how do we find a way to get a win. And Boston just seems to be focused on this, how do we exercise the Miami thing? And you know, we're going to look for reasons to be motivated that are beyond just, you know, beating a team that beat us last year in the playoffs and we've gone back and forth with for the last few years.
I could tell you why Jaylen Brown is allowing this to linger. It's because he's sick of the Heat calling him a word I can't use, Clay. I mean, they keep telling him, you're not like that.
Every
time
like that.
There's some sort of altercation, he doesn't like that. But I think everybody knows, even his own teammates would acknowledge, he's not like that. And he keeps trying to be like that with, like, Duncan Robinson after he hurt him. And then Caleb Martin trying to help up his teammate, he goes and he shoves him. I mean, what the hell is Jaylen Brown doing? I mean, go work on your left hand.
What? that idea that was going. I did notice there was a couple of plays where he was like grabbing Bam from behind when they were out running and the Heat were trying to get out on a break. Like, look, that kind of stuff is going to happen in the playoffs. There's going to be this physical play. I get it. I think everybody understands that. But don't then make it seem like the other team is doing stuff that is underhanded or crossing a line. When, look, everybody's seeing what's actually going on here. Like, this is playoff basketball. This is how it should be. This is how the Miami Heat like to play. They're fine with all of this, but don't make it seem like they're doing something you're not.
What do you think happens in this series? You said, I don't know if the Heat win a game. Is there any chance without Jimmy Butler that they can take one from Boston?
I do think, I said I don't know if they win a game. I do think they win at least one. I think they find a way. I'm not like 100% confident they're going to, but I think there's going to be a game that maybe they keep under 100 and find a way to squeeze that out. Now, if it's game two, and I think game two is going to be really interesting.
Then you got yourself a series.
Right, because then you're coming back here, and if you find a way to win one at home, then you're at the very least going to come back for a game six. And so
maybe they feel, and rightfully so, the way that we do about the Lightning,
yes,
which is just for whatever reason,
yes,
the Heat put us in fits.
If
the Heat somehow, they're 14.5-point dogs tomorrow, if the Heat somehow tomorrow can find a way to steal a game, look out, because you're going to see a massive, you think you're in their heads now with that silly little Caleb Martin play. Steal a game in Boston without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and I think the things that you know, don't give me the guts or make me feel like there's, you know, I don't envision Miami finding a way to win the series in six or seven games is not just the Jimmy Butler thing, but you look back to the play-in game, and even with Jimmy playing on one leg, he gets that pick six in the fourth quarter after everything had gone Philly's way, and it like switched the entire momentum of that game and gave Miami a chance to pull that one out that they should have at the end. Not just losing Jimmy, but also Duncan Robinson admitting this morning, he's just not going to be right. He's not going to be right until he gets an extended period of time. Who knows if that turns into surgery in the office, whatever it ends up being, we're not going to get the Duncan Robinson that we got in the playoffs last season. We're not going to get the Duncan Robinson that made so many improvements driving to the basket this season. That Duncan Robinson is not walking through that door, to steal the old Rick Pitino line. So I just think there's so much that this team is going to have to overcome in order to win just a game that having them win four just seems like too big of an uphill climb. But no, we felt that way last year too. So I'm curious to see how game two plays out.
The obvious for Miami, though, is Tyler Hero has to play better. We all know that. What about him playing more off the ball, Clay? I mean, clearly Drew Holiday is playing physical against them. They're pressing on him. And even if he gets a switch, well, Derek White is on you now, or Jason Tatum's on you. What if the Heat try to make him play more off the ball? I realize that's difficult without Terry Rozier, because then who's your ball handler? I don't know, but it seems that might be the best way to get him at least some better looks throughout the course of a game.
Well, I'm with you, Solana. So I'm going to steal the Solana line. I'm with you. I actually am with you. And I think you hit the nail on the head as far as Terry Rozier being out. And, you know, we're talking about Jimmy being out and Duncan being out. And because you don't have Terry Rozier, you do in many ways lose that luxury of playing him off the ball. Maybe Spo really goes deep into the lab, and maybe you play Bam as that point center more. Maybe you have him bring up the ball. Lord knows how much more Bam can take on his plate, but I thought he did a really good job of being aggressive in game one offensively. And so maybe now you change it up a little bit. You have him be the guy that brings the ball up the floor a little bit more, and have Tyler do some of the stuff that Duncan did, you know, doing the dribble handoff stuff, whatever it is. I think everything is on the table, as it should be. And again, if you find a way to steal one, maybe Rozier is back for game three. Maybe he's back for game four. Like, it's get one, and then at the very least you feel like, okay, if we can get one more, then we're coming back here, and who knows what kind of reinforcement you're getting along the way.
Clay Ferraro, you can watch him tonight live from the Amerant Bank Arena on Local 10. One quick Dolphins question before we wrap things up here for the night. So you have the draft on Thursday. I asked Cuno today, I asked Josh Appel, do you think they have any chance of getting cutesy with the number 21 pick? Or best available, or, you know, as Crowder says, a fat guy, just shore up the line or get a pass rusher and don't get cutesy and just, you know, kind of keep your focus on the team that you've put together and make it better.
I don't know that you have the ability to get cutesy at 21. I think when you look at how this draft is going to play out, I don't know that you've got – there's not a guy that's going to come in. Okay, let's throw out the names. I mean, you know, are you convinced that Michael Penix is better than what you have in Tua Tagovailoa?
Right, and so if he's available – because Crowder's brought his name up several times. If he's available, would you be angry – if they took him at 21.
No. By the way, I'm never angry if you say we're not sure about our quarterback. Yeah, because, I mean, if you're not sure about your quarterback, then you need to be trying to find one. And if you draft a quarterback in the first round, it's because you're not sure about your quarterback. So, no, that would tell me that internally they felt a little bit differently than what they've been projecting externally. And I'd be fine with that. Now, what I think is that they are as high on Tua as they say, or at least close to it. And so I think they'll lean into this and say, we need to find a way, either bring somebody in to take some of the snaps that Christian Wilkins had. You find an edge player that you really like with Andrew Van Ginkle leaving and with the questions about Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and when they'll be back. Or if you find an offensive lineman, and this draft has a lot of really, really good ones. I think that's where they
I would
go.
Be angry. I would be
if
angry.
If they get a quarterback?
If they took Michael Penix or any quarterback.
And why is that?
Because I love Tua.
Yeah,
I am fair. Like, I am so sold on him. I want him to be the quarterback here for the next 5 years.
Yep.
I want him to be a decade quarterback. I don't want you to have to worry about that position. He's shown me enough. Now, again, I know what the argument is. Has he shown you a playoff win? No. Has he shown you a win in a big, important game against a good team? Maybe not. I've seen enough. I love Tua. I'm all in on him, so I would be annoyed.
Well, and I think there's a difference between being annoyed and frustrated, but I think, to me, I tend to trust the people who are in the building more than my own personal opinion, you know what I mean? And so to me, it is, if you're telling me that from what you've seen behind the scenes, you're not 100% sold on your quarterback, I'm okay with it. Like, that is the most important position in sports. I draft one every year. Not in the first round, but I feel like you need to make sure. So, no, but I get you. Like, especially if you're somebody who's firmly in that position. Man, like, if you think you've got your guy, then you got to supplement him.
All right, we got to wrap things up here at the Ameren Bank Arena. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate it. A loaded potato today. Clay Ferreros, CBS4's Mike Cunha was with us.
Much better dressed than I am.
Doug Plagans was with us.
Much better dressed than I am.
And Josh Appel was with us in the 2 o'clock hour.
You didn't show me what Josh was wearing. Was he better dressed than I am, too?
He was at home on StreamYard. What was he? He was dressed like a schlub, wasn't he, Solana?
Yeah, I think he had on, like, some sort of Lululemon
Yeah, he wears Lululemon. That's all he wears, yeah. Lululemon.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Tree Crawford, our on-site engineer, and the Florida Panthers for bringing by some great souvenirs, the trading cards and the the sunshades for the windshield, and a lot of fun. It's going to be electric here tonight at the Ameren Bank Arena. Remember, you can hear it here. You got Hurricane Hotline coming up next, but then you can hear Panthers hockey, playoff hockey, here tonight on 560 WQAM. Everybody have a great and safe Tuesday night. Go Panthers, go Marlins. We will speak with you mañana.
You need to need, you need, need that's all, folks.
You need to need, you need, need.
Path, path, pus.
Take care, brush your hair.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.